Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited to have with me a new friend that I met this year named Wendy Sloan. And I met her because I was on her podcast and loved her and her vibe so much that I brought her on the podcast to listen to you, because I think that there's so much about Wendy that you will find relatable and her story and our conversation today. So for those of you who don't know who she is, she's a former TV producer for Phil Donahue and Geraldo. Then she had a radio show called What's Up with Wendy. And then that small thing called COVID happened. And she took that radio show and took it into something that is so helpful and useful to so many of you. And it's a podcast called Divorce Doesn't Suck. So Wendy, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And thank you for everything that you said just now.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, tell us about you.
Wow. Where'd you,
from the beginning, how did you, your marriage and your work and how you are where you are today?
Okay. You got it. So I moved to New York City after I graduated from college, and I worked for a modeling agency. That was my very first job in television, for Elite Casablancas. So that was John Casablancas. That was really a fun filled career. And then, but I really wanted to be either a reporter, or I wanted to be a television producer, or be in a soap opera. And believe it or not, I did get 4 callbacks for a soap opera.
Oh,
a soap opera called Loving. So that would have, I think, taken my life in a whole different way, but it didn't happen. So I wound up being a television producer, and first for Phil Donahue, who is probably one of the greatest humans out there, and Geraldo, who is also one of the greatest humans out there. If anyone ever had a chance to work for them, it was just magical. It was just, it was like having second families. I mean, we're all still close as producers, or all still talk all the time. And it was a wonderful world. It was so fun in New York City. And I covered JonBenet Ramsey, the OJ Simpson trial. Being in television at that time was amazing. So I had a full career.
Amazing.
That was during my 20s. So I chose to just like focus on my career, date. I had a ball dating, but it was always just like, I'm just dating just to date. It was never, yeah. I was looking for a husband, or I was so focused on my career. And I think that's one of the things I tell people to enjoy your 20s. You know, like, I know it works for a lot of people to get married young, or, you know, for your high school sweetheart and all that sounds magical. But I loved being single in my 20s and focusing on my career, because then you have the whole second part of your life to get married, be a mom, and focus on. That's just my personal opinion. So then I was, you know, getting into my 30s, and I was kind of feeling like, oh, I want to, you know, I wanted to have kids. My career was very important to me, but I always knew I was going to be a mom.
Sure.
So I got engaged, and I got married in 1999. I was 33 years old. I had my first baby at 34, my second baby at 35, a year apart.
And so having kids and your biological clock was a big impetus for you to get married, I'm guessing.
I would say that now. I don't think I was thinking that at the time.
Totally.
But I knew that I was in my 30s and I was worried. So I was like, oh, you know, kids were very, yes.
I guess. Yeah, like I got to get out of this game of musical chairs.
Yes, correct. And I was burnt out too from my career. I mean, at Geraldo, I was doing 2 shows a week. I was doing his news show and his celebrity show, and it was a lot. And when you're a television producer, you burn both ends. I mean, you're on the clock 24/7. It's not a job I don't think you can do and be a mother, full-time mother, at least.
You're on call, literally. I've done enough TV to know what TV producers' phones are like all day, all night.
Yeah. And if a story breaks, you go and you have
100%.
to, and that was wonderful in my 20s to be able to do that. So Yes. So I had my kids, and shortly after 9/11, we left New York City because even though I covered so many stories, there was nothing like 9/11. And I just felt so, I just felt the city felt different to me. And I also had, you know, two kids at home, a brand new baby and a year plus old little guy. And my hormones were like, I got to get my kids out of here and I have to move. So I only knew Connecticut because of Phil. And so I, Phil Donahue. So we looked in Connecticut, and next thing you know, we have a house in Connecticut. So my little family, we were now not New Yorkers anymore. We were Connecticut people, and I loved it. I mean, I love the small town feel. I love that the kids had a big backyard to go to. I still wonder, and we talk about it, my kids and I, what if I raised you in New York City? How different would our life be? How different would I be? I mean, it was, but you know, I have the greatest friends in the world from that little town, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But I do think like how different it would have been. And for now sure. That my kids are in the city, I'm like, So I'm living my life now through their eyes and seeing how they are in the city. But anyway, so then I got very involved. I did not work anymore.
And that so you was stepped out of TV. Stepped out you stepped out of work, period.
Completely to be a stay-at-home mom. And that was huge for me because I dreamed of just being a stay-at-home mom, and I had my career and I felt very fulfilled, which is another big point that I want to get across. Like, I was fulfilled in my career. I felt like I had accomplished a lot and I had done everything I set out to do. And I had put that to bed. I was done. I thought I was done. So I dove deep into my kids' life, and I was the team mom for everything. And I was in the PTC and, you know, the room mom coordinator. And I went to the lunchroom duty and I wiped the tables down and hung out with the kids. And I was always at every one of their sports and their games and like literally on the field being team mom. So that was great. And play groups and, you know, getting to know my community and it was wonderful. And then I got to the point where I was like, I think this was 2010, I want to say. I said, I need something for Wendy now too. Mm. So I met somebody out to dinner and he was like, oh, I own a radio station. I said, I want a radio show. Oh, you do, huh? So I went bulldozed right into it, just like I did when I moved to New York City. And I kept hounding them. And I actually did have a radio show with Danny Bonaducci at the end of when Geraldo was over. I had a radio show with him. So it was called Big 105 with the Partridge Family, Danny Bonaducci.
Danny Bonaducci.
I still remember him. And that was really fun, but that didn't last very long. So I had some radio experience, even though I said I would never do radio. It was not after being a television producer. So he's like, okay, so what do you want to do? And I said, well, I'll think about it. I said, I want to do a show like I did for Geraldo for his celebrity news show, celebrities, newsmakers, authors, you know, series of things and all that. So he goes, okay, can you go on the air in 2 weeks? So I go, 2 weeks? I didn't have any guests. I had nothing. I mean, I still had contacts and stuff, but not a ton. So I called Geraldo and I said, could you be my first guest? I'm getting this radio show. And then I called the executive producer. I said, I need a name. I need a song. And we came up with What's Up with Wendy, which is
I love that.
Yeah. So Geraldo was my first guest. Literally on the radio, I was like, dead silence. Like it was such a bad interview. Thank God for him. But I was like, I didn't know how to talk. I was like, kind of like, and you know, you're here, you are, you're hiding behind a microphone. No one's seeing you, but it was really not great at first. I'll just say that. But anyway, my show did really well. So I kept it all the way until COVID. And then I was kind of getting to the point where I was bored. And it's wonderful interviewing celebrities and it's all fun and wonderful. And I would go to the studio once a week I was only once a week.
Wow.
So my show was an hour show and I still was able to be, it literally started, I went in at 10 o'clock. So my kids were already at school and I was done in an hour and it was all fun. And I'm, you know, wonderful, wonderful guests. I mean, Henry Winkler.
So Tony fun, Panza. The fans.
I mean, Angela Bassett, the guests that I had on, the people, Vanessa Williams, the magnitude of guests that I could get on that show. And just so you know, Geraldo was my second guest, the second anniversary, the third anniversary, Monica Potter co-hosted with me. Phil came on. So it was a great show, but I was bored. So I gave it up during COVID, kind of kept it around, turned it into a podcast. wasn't a podcast. It was too all over the place. If you searched What's Up with Wendy, you know how a podcast works. So then I decided something that I always wanted to do is help people in divorce. Because when I got divorced, there was no podcast. I didn't know about divorce coaches. I didn't know more than half the things that I know now. I felt very alone. I was getting divorced. Nobody else in my town was getting divorced or that I knew of. So there was this one girl I reached out to. I said,
one girl.
I think we have something in common and we're lifelong friends now, but there was really nowhere for me to turn. Which is one thing, like I didn't really get to take a breath. I dove right into something that I didn't have any clue or know anything about.
And what year was that you got divorced? Let's back up for a second.
I got divorced in 2008.
Oh, in 2008, before you started your show.
Before I started everything. Yeah, I got divorced. I mean, I was just out of being a television producer and, my kids, I was into my marriage 9 years. That's it. So yeah, there was no radio show at that point. There was, I was just a stay-at-home mom.
That must have been hard to decide as a stay-at-home mom, like I'm done, but it sounds like it was the right thing for you.
I didn't even decide. I just woke up, went to marriage counseling. I just was like, one day I just said, I'm done. Like, I think I'm done. And that's the thing. I really didn't think about it. I didn't dwell on it. I didn't map it out. I just was like, I'm done. And, it wasn't the kids. It was financial. I felt like I was kind of like trapped. I felt like I just wasn't in love anymore. And I just did it.
Yeah. Were you the primary breadwinner at the time?
Nope.
No. Okay. That happens to a lot of women longer term when they become the breadwinners and, when they're substantially out earning or have a stay at home dad. That I see a lot of that in our practice.
Yeah.
The post women getting back out there and how do I renavigate this so I don't end up there again?
I was not the breadwinner. I was out of my career for a long time. Wow. I was a mom and, I was I was a wife and I was a mom and I kind of lost Wendy in there a little bit. So, but the driving force to me was my two beautiful children. I was just going to keep going. And that's one piece of advice is I didn't stop and take a breath. I didn't map out. I didn't research attorneys. Big, you have to find the right attorney. I did not. I went through so many attorneys and that hurt me financially a lot.
I can't even imagine how tough that is. So you basically,
I'm busy raising little kids that they're first, they come first over everything. So I put, they were at it was very difficult.
Right. So you wake up, you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm ready to unplug. And you just jumped off the deep end or the diving board at that point.
Yeah, I dove. Yeah.
So your advice is don't do that. Have a plan.
Have a plan. Do your research. I mean, I didn't even know, there's so many different laws in different states. And I didn't know, I felt like I was in a rush to get this done because the attorney was like pressuring me. And I was like, I could have taken my sweet time. Like a lot of things happen after 10, I was only married 9 years. After 10 years, there's a lot more financial gain. So, the lawyers know that. So why wasn't I told that? Why wasn't I told a lot of things? Why didn't I go and research? Because I didn't know. Because there was no outlets out there for me to find out about. Nobody was getting divorced. Now there's I would have done 1,000 things different.
Yeah.
However, I'm happy. I'm healthy. My kids are amazing. We got through it and there was, I have a wonderful life.
I'm so glad.
It was easy. No, but I look back now and I wouldn't change a thing because I wouldn't be where I am today. I'm very fulfilled. I'm peaceful. I go to sleep at night. I'm happy. My life is full. So I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah, zero regrets.
Zero regrets. And another thing is I didn't date during this time. I'm not saying I didn't go out to dinner with a man, and I didn't have, my kids never met anyone. They never knew. I mean, I had, you know, 2 weekends free a month, barely. And you're exhausted from being a full-time mom.
For sure.
And all their activities. And, you know, I had this big house to take care of too. And on top of it, 1,000 people in my life getting divorced, which, you know, they always put 1,000 people in. So I, yeah.
I mean, and you, when you say 1,000 people getting divorced, it's like as the years
on. 1,000 people in my life, you know, there was the lawyers, there was the mediators, there was the trials, there was, you know, the paperwork and the things that you have to do. And, you know, just there was a lot of people in our life at that time.
I can imagine. Right. It feels like a circus of people.
It feels like a zoo. Yes. A crazy zoo that I just wanted to get out. And I felt very caged.
Oh, my gosh. So you were like, I'm just going to be me, hang out with my kids. And now a decade passes by and now we're in 2020. So you start your podcast. And now how does dating look to you? It's the COVID landscape now.
Okay. So during COVID, I was so blessed. I was blessed because I had my kids home. So they were in college and I got to have them home. So that's like extra bonus of time that you wouldn't have normally got with your kids. And unfortunately, right before COVID, I lost my father. So, and he was my favorite person in the whole planet. So that was the end of 2019. And so I had my kids there for all the first, and I had my kids there for my grief. And so that was, you know, so COVID, we kind of just hunkered down. You know, I took good care of myself. I walked every day, worked out. I just grounded myself again and, you know, home cooked meals, and life was different. And then I decided I'm going to do something that I've always wanted to do and make a difference in the divorce community and support people going through divorce. And I was like, I said to my friend Jack, who helps me with the podcast, I said, we're not going to do What's Up with Wendy anymore because it's really not a podcast. And you were right. Because he kept saying, it's not a podcast. It's really not. And I'm like, it is. But I have all these great people, these great celebrities, but it's not a podcast. It's a radio show. So we came up with Divorce Doesn't Suck. And I began, I had a wonderful intern then. And we just, I wasn't crazy about the name, but now it's like, it's here. And it's actually, the podcast is doing really well. So I'm proud of it. And it's my baby. And, yeah. So, but back to the dating part, which I don't really talk about much. I said I would date when my kids went to college, I'll really start dating. And so COVID happened. So you're not really dating. And I had lost my dad. And I said, when my daughter goes to college, and then they were all home. And so when they went back to school and COVID was kind of, I mean, is COVID really gone? I don't know, but you know, we're back out in the real world. And I said, I'll start dating. So I went on the dating app and I met somebody 800 miles away.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it was the app.
Like for me, I wanted the, and I've never publicly talked about this. So this is the first time because it's you. I wanted the fairy tale. You know, I wanted the Cinderella story. I wanted to be like out there walking my dog and I get tangled in a leash with somebody as other dog and I meet somebody or I bump in. I wanted the fairy tale. I didn't want to say, oh, I met him on a dating app. However, I did. He was 800 miles away. And
which
we
could have been the fairy tale if this was a Hallmark movie.
Correct.
However,
so, 800 miles away. And we FaceTimed immediately the next day and we dated for 1 month online, like FaceTime, movie nights. I mean, you can do this long distance. To 100%. Me. And actually to me, long distance is better. It works for me because I don't need, I can take care of myself. I've been alone for so long that I don't know if I want somebody with me 24/7, or I don't know if I want someone to, this is my space. And I just got a brand new beach house like 5 months ago and I'm living my best life. So I don't know if I want to bring somebody into, I don't know, I guess time will tell. So we dated, for a month. And he's like, I'm coming to see you. And I said, okay, one dinner. He's like, well, I'm staying with friends in New Jersey. So one dinner. He said, I'll take as much time or as little time as you will give me.
So and this is after a month of FaceTiming every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably a little bit more than a month. FaceTiming, having date nights, watching movies, FaceTiming, talking all the time. I really felt like I knew this person. And then we met and no one ever came to my house. No one ever picked me up at my house. And he stayed for 14 days. So we had this amazing love story for 2 years, long distance. And then love wasn't the problem. Distance was the problem.
Yeah.
So that's in a little corner of my life right now. So I don't even know how I feel one way or the other about that. And so now I'm stuck with, well, I'm here, he's there. What do? I don't really want to get on a dating app because it's not what I envision my life to be. I'm perfectly happy being alone.
Here but you I want someone.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's really the question, right? You're happy on your own. Humans are typically wired to want the lid to their pot. They want companionship. Now that companionship can look different for different people. So what in your, it sounds like you don't want someone who needs to live next door to you.
Correct.
So what are you looking for now?
I don't, tall, kind.
Tall.
Kind. Romantic.
Mm-hmm.
I want the romance. I don't need you to send me flowers. Just bring me one flower. Go pick it. Like, I want old fashioned romance. Does that sound like people do that anymore?
Yeah, people do that for sure. The question is,
I need passion and just, I need someone to add to my life and make it, you know, because my life is pretty, pretty great.
That's amazing. And that's such a good place to be when you're dating this person. That's why I call them the lid to your pot. Your pot is complete, but a lid that fits just makes the perfect accoutrement to the pot, right? Makes it more versatile.
Right.
Gives you more options to cook things differently.
And I always said this, like, I'll know it. I'll know it when I meet it. I'll know it. I'll just know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that, right? And what that is, to some extent, not to burst the bubble here, is what you're looking for.
Don't burst my bubble.
When you say you're looking for, I know it when I'll see it. What that means is you're looking for somebody that feels familiar to you. So much of chemistry is familiarity. And now the question to ask yourself is familiarity what I need?
Because
I've done that before, right? And so when we feel overwhelming chemistry with someone, it is, there's a lot of familiarity at the core of that. Nobody's talking about this except me, but this is really why we feel so drawn to certain people. It's like, oh my God, I spent one night with him and I felt like I'd known him for a lifetime. I'm like, you have. He was your ex and your ex and your ex.
Well, now that you say it like that, however, that person was nothing like my ex.
Right.
And to back it up, my ex and I are now friends. My ex-husband and I are now friends and we do communicate. We, you know, there's a lot of things we could have done differently on both of our ends, but we do communicate now and talk. And I think that's wonderful for the kids, even though I think the kids think it's weird, even though they're grown kids. Because we've been apart for so long. So it's like, oh, well, mom and dad are talking. That's weird.
Oh, okay. Because they weren't used to you guys communicating with
each other. Exactly. Right.
Okay. So now you're kind of good co-parents.
Well, they're grown children now. So, you know, it's a little different, but yes. And my kids are, it was so funny because, so the 800 miles away person was the first person that ever met my kids. So I had told my daughter about it. And then my son goes, Mom, when are you going to stop calling your friend that's coming to visit or your friend? When are you just going to say it? So, and they were totally fine with it and actually really happy for Mom. They were like, Mom, as long as you're happy, that's all that matters.
Let me ask you this, Wendy. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give someone in a long distance relationship?
That's a good question. You just have to communicate, you know. I felt him all the time. And I think that's because we, you know, it was always good morning. It was always good night. He was always the person I spoke to on the phone or text. And it was a, you know, our love connection was, you know, he would send songs to me and I felt him all day long. So I didn't feel that he was 800 miles away when he was. Yeah. So I think it's that, you know, you have to be, it's just a feel like I felt him all the time. It wasn't like he wasn't near me. So it was like he could have been next door to me. And, you know, when you think about it, 800 miles away, you can just get on a plane and get to somebody within an hour and a half.
That's right.
Sometimes I can get from one town to the other and be stuck in traffic for an hour.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, but then the thing is, my other advice is to people is love enough. Like I don't have any baggage. I don't have any darkness in my life. And if somebody else does, will it really work? So yeah. And don't be blind to the signs, to the red flags too.
100%. And I think, you know, back to the question of long distance, what I tell my clients is it's going to be person specific and relationship specific, but ultimately there should be a plan to get to the same city. Otherwise, if there's no there, somebody will get frustrated long term.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know if that is consistent with your relationship or not.
Right. Yeah. Well, here we are, and he is 800 miles away, and here I am, right here in my happy little
happy beach house, and you're back on
the sun shining, and just my life is full. So I think that someone will find me somewhere, somehow, some way. Is that crazy?
No, I think that the universe certainly has a hand in this, but just like you were saying with wishing you had had a plan when you got back, when you were going to divorce and have the steps laid out, I would say to you, if I was your dating coach, dating is the same way. Unless you have a plan, it's you just sort of feel like, oh, this is the universe, like telling me this is the right person because there's no plan, right? And the first person that walks around you that happens to have a dog on a leash, you're like, oh my God, here he is. I have talked to people that are like, okay, God, the next person that I see that walks into this door in this establishment that I'm in and smiles at me, maybe this is my person. And lo and behold, when you're tuned into that, you see that person who looks at you, smiles and walks in, and you're like, oh my God, my prayers are answered. Here's this person. Now, is this really your person? No, it's correlation. It's not causation per se. So we overestimate, right, these things that we draw up in our heads. I'm like, look, unless you have a plan that is, this is who I need to be with now, this is my and person, this is the lid to my pot, and how am I going to find this person, right? There's three pipelines that I would suggest to you to think about. I know nobody wants to think about the apps, but you got to think about the apps because the chances of someone finding you that's good for you are pretty slim. It can happen. But, you know, like I'm saying, and then meeting people out and about in real life and then having a plan to have people start setting you up on dates. And so that's how you would develop a dating funnel. But long term, it's really going to be planful versus, you know, I hate to shoot the rom-com dreams that people have in their minds, but ultimately, that's a fantasy that we watch on the screens. We all want that to happen. But the issue is, it doesn't always work out in real life.
Right.
So we overvalue those initial connections. Like, oh my God, the guy walked in, he smiled at me, this is a sign. It's your job to evaluate the signs.
And I feel like also I'm very comfortable and very, very content. So maybe I need to get a little uncomfortable and put myself out there because I'm very comfortable, very peaceful, very happy. Right.
And that's a great mindset to date, right? Where you're not feeling lonely, you're not feeling thirsty, you're not angry, you're in a great place, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're doing work that you love, your kids are grown and flown. And so for you, dating over 50 is kind of the best time in life because a lot of those hurdles, you're done. Those ships have sailed. Now you're looking for companionship, right? So it really, I think that it's great that you're comfortable and content and peaceful. Now it's the and who is the right person for me?
Right.
Because we wouldn't be talking about this if you didn't want to be dating.
Probably you're right. You're probably right.
And so dating requires thoughts, plans, big picture plans. Who is your man? That's high GPQ, high in good partner qualities. That's our process to do this. And we have a long process that we help people to identify partners that actually make them happy versus doing the same shit over and over again, right? And then we teach you, okay, so this is who he really is. This is a person that's going to make you happy. And then looking for the red flags by phase of dating. Right. We've got phased out red flags. So knowing that, that starts to help you navigate the dating scene. Like, okay, who gets in and who gets out? And in our one-on-one practice, we're literally in the weeds with our clients, looking at apps, looking at messages, going, that is hilarious. I love what he said. Here's how we should answer back. But this guy, let me look at him. No, he sounds really negative. Let's get rid of him. So, and then you have dating scorecards and you're filling things out so that we really understand.
It's like a job.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's not a job for you. Our job is to help you vet. So people always ask like, well, you know, are you matchmakers? I'm like, we're better than matchmakers because we're helping you. Yeah. We're on your team, not against you. Whereas matchmakers, they want you to settle down with someone so they don't have to provide you more matches. Mm-hmm. Our incentives are completely with yours. We want you to be with the right lid to your pot. So we are going to tell you as professionals, this is good for you. This is out of alignment with what you say you want. This sounds like your X. Let's not do this all over again, right? Mm-hmm. So this is how we are wrapping people in bubble wrap, and we're really along for the ride week over week and helping to make sure that even when somebody gets through phase one of dating, which is, okay, sounds like I met someone great. He's past you 15 to 20 dates, past me. Okay, he's awesome. Then we go into phase two. Is this relationship in alignment with what you want long-term? Mm-hmm. And that's where the rubber hits the road so that we don't have to go back to the well 4 months or 4 years later because this relationship wasn't in alignment.
Right. I like what you said, wrap in bubble wrap, protect.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And that's it. So you don't get dinged up during the
process. I don't want to get dinged up. And I also, and that's another thing is we all can. I don't know if I can get dinged up because I'm so protective of myself too. And I don't know. I don't know how to respond to dating apps. Hi. Like, hi. And they probably don't believe that I'm the age that I am. So that's another thing that I struggle with too, because I see people that are my age and I feel like I look a lot younger than them. And I'm that
worried. You're stunning.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind.
How old are you, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, boy.
We're all friends.
We're all friends here. 58.
58. Yeah. You look substantially younger than 58. Whatever that even means. You look amazing.
Happiness. It's happiness. It's truly happiness. It really is. Happiness and some false eyelashes. That's all.
Well, and you take care of yourself and you walk and you...
I do.
Home-cooked meals. Yeah. You ride a bike.
Home-cooked meals, not really. I mean, that was during COVID. I'm not a fan of cooking. I really don't love being in the kitchen. That's the honest to God truth. When my kids are here, I do cook, and poor kids, I think they were raised on mac and cheese and chicken nuggets, but they're healthy and wonderful. So I don't think it matters. I'm not a fan of being in the kitchen, and I'm first to admit that I don't love it.
And that's great. But whatever you're doing, you're taking good care of yourself because
it scares me that I feel that like if I went on a dating app, they would think like, oh, she's not really real. There's no way she's 58. And also like, what age do I date? I don't even know. I wouldn't even know what age to date.
What sounds good to you?
I guess like around my age, like my age sounds good to me to date someone my age.
That's what all the research shows. Women want someone within, you know, plus or minus.
I wouldn't date a young person.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't go really 1 or 2 years younger than me. I don't even know if I would do that.
You should be open to it. Age is just a number, right? The same way you want someone to look at you and go, okay, it's just a number. Like, wow, she's beautiful. And if somebody that's 53 and his kids are gone and he thinks you're the bee's knees and doesn't care about a 5-year age gap, you're not looking to have kids at this age. So the age, it's, you know, people are playing the long game going, wait, if I'm 58 and he's 75 in 10 years, he'll be 85. And so this is more the math that people do at this age more than anything. So I would tell you, you know, go 5 to 10 years up, go 5 years down.
Five to 10 years up. Wow, that sounds old.
Right. But remember,
I never thought of that.
Old is us plus 10. My mom always tells me that. That's what sounds old, right? When you were 42, 58 probably sounded like our parents, right? And now...
Did you say... Wait, I'm sorry. I got distracted. Did you say go down 10 and go up 10?
You can go down. It depends. Remember, these are all malleable online. Try different things, right? And we're here. We tweak things with our clients week over week. And that's where the magic starts to happen, because every year you go up or down and broaden your search, every inch in height, every mile in zip code, you bring in hundreds, if not thousands, of potentially new candidates.
Amazing.
And so being open, again, we get so caught on the quantitative things, the height, the age, the zip code, but ultimately it's about alignment of values, character. Are you elevator people for each other? Do you elevate each other? Do you make each other really, really happy? Yeah. And are you there for each other? Right. Do you
elevate
have a great friendship? Yeah. And this is what we help people look for.
Well, that's why you're you and you're so fabulous. The Smart Dating Academy is amazing. And when I found you, I was like, you're amazing.
Oh,
and everything you say is so right on. And it's good for me to hear all this.
Well, when Wendy and I were talking before, you know, we were in my green room, we were talking about, you know, just the questions of being out there dating. And you guys, Wendy is gorgeous and she's 58 and you'll see her photos and reels. Oh, hi, Simon. And you'll see she's just like you. She's divorced, right? Was a stay-at-home mom, has had different careers, right? And continues to reinvent herself and move from Manhattan to Connecticut and then move from Connecticut to her beach house, and now has created a really fulfilling life, and your kids are grown and flown, and now you're ready for that next chapter. You could be like the perfect golden bachelorette.
It's so funny that you said that. My son goes, no way will you do that. And my daughter's all for it. And my neighbors in the beach house are like, I want to be the golden bachelorette.
But I
don't want to be in the group. I want to be her.
Right. Exactly.
Can we happen?
I mean, it's a lot. It's a very, I like the concept of the bachelor with the dating funnel, but I mean, it's reality television. So there's a lot of drama that, you know, we need to have behind the scenes, Geraldo.
Okay. I was just going to say, you took it right out of my mouth. So when I first got to Geraldo, we were still doing, I slept with my brother's girlfriend, you know, we were still doing the trash, and we were putting them in separate green rooms and saying, okay, there's water there. I mean, if you need to use it, and telling each other, yeah, I did that. I'm not proud of it, but I did do that. And then thank God we became more news and everything changed with CNBC and everything else. But anyway, yes, I know reality TV and I know what that's like, but
yeah,
I love the Golden Bachelor. I'm actually going to have a few of the women on my podcast as soon as their contracts are up. So that's exciting. And I thought they were all like so supportive of each other at this age and older. Yeah. and they all looked beautiful and they all take care of themselves and they were all rooting for each other. And that's the kind of girlfriend I am.
Yeah, I love that. And that's what I like about this particular season. You know, I don't love the very expedited and now let's get married. Right. I think that that plays into the fallacy of Hallmark and Hollywood that, wow, you meet the right person and in 60 days, let's get hitched. And right. The truth of the matter is, why not date for another year and mm-hmm. make sure that we're really good for each other? It works out sometimes. Look, my parents met on a Sunday. They were engaged on Thursday and married 72 hours later. They've been married for 50 years.
Wow. Okay?
Great. But right, that's more the exception than the rule. So that's the one tweak I would make. But our process is similar at Smart Dating Academy. You're going to have a dating funnel. You're going to have different options to choose from, because what that helps you to do, just like Jerry did, or Gary, I forget what his name is, in The Golden Bachelor, when you have options, you feel like you have power and you don't settle. So the smart dating process is very much like that. It's not on TV, but we're really in the weeds, wrapping you in bubble wrap and objective, because we're not trying to create drama. We're trying to get rid of the drama. Like, that's someone with three red flags. Let's get rid of that person. I like this one. Let's go on a seventh and an eighth date. And that's how we've been successful over the last 15 years of having zero divorces, Wendy. Isn't that bizarre?
Amazing. That's amazing. No, you're amazing. Everything you do, Bella, is amazing.
Oh, I'm so glad you came on. And I hope that this has inspired you. Say that again.
I feel honored to be on. I really do.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. And I hope that, dear listener, you see that these are the conversations we have with people every day, right? Like, okay, what are you going to do? Do you really know who a partner is that's going to make you happy? Are we going to keep repeating old patterns, overcorrecting for the wrong things? Are we going to have a dating funnel? How are we going to create a dating funnel? Who's going to tell you the truth? Your friends and your family are well-intentioned. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing. You're taking advice from people. For example, if you needed legal advice, you're not going to ask your neighbor across the street who's a plastic surgeon.
No, correct.
Right? He's going to say, I don't know, call my lawyer. Right? So work with professionals that can help you, because, well, again, the fallacy is everybody knows how to date. Everybody knows how to fall in love. When it's the right time, it's going to happen. And I'm here to bust those myths. Like anything you want in your life, if you were looking to change jobs, change careers, would you just say, well, you know what? I don't really have to interview for jobs. The right thing will just land in my lap when it's the right time. Total BS. We're given terrible advice. If you want to do something, if you want the lid to your pot, you need to be proactive. You need to have experts around you. Build a village to keep you safe, wrapped in bubble wrap, and not a village of, you know, the same villagers that plant the berries and rake your lawn. It's like you need a village of people that that are experts and know how to help you and have your interest in mind, and they are aligned with your interests.
Yeah.
I hope this has been helpful to you.
It's been, you are a gem. And everything you do to help people that are single and help people find love and keep everybody safe in bubble wrap. It's wonderful.
Well, Wendy, we're going to have you back on for a dating update. So let's get this plan going. How does that sound?
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Well, smart daters, I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as we have. We will put Wendy's show in the show notes. Make sure that you listen to it. Make sure that you listen to the episode that we did together on her show. So it's amazing. And thank you again for being on. If you like this episode, smart daters, go in, rate it, write something, give it 5 stars. That keeps us motivated and keeping the flywheel going to do more shows for you. So with that, I bid you farewell and we will see you next week.
Thank you, Bella.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love, follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.